This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Sunday, September 8, 2024, the 15th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Brethren, show no partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, and every Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
A bit of a departure today, particularly in light of the past several weeks where we've been speaking primarily about the depths of the Eucharist, very theological, very moral. Today I want to go almost completely practical. The reason I want to do this is because I'm always emphasizing about our study of Scripture, the traditions of our church. We have to understand that, how is that imparted to us first and foremost? By writing, by speaking, words. We need to pay attention to words. Words mean things. And if you start messing with words, all of a sudden things get cloudy or they get misunderstood. We don't want that. We want things to be with it. I'm a reader. Words I know are important. I'm a grammar Nazi. I still complain when people end a sentence with a preposition. I'm into all that stuff. Because words have meanings, and you want to be as clear as humanly possible. Human language is messed up enough in its variations and how some people perceive things. We need to be attentive to words. The second reading today, the Epistle of James. James is speaking about something. And unfortunately, particularly in our day, people look at that verse about the rich man coming into the church and the poor man, and all of a sudden it becomes a class struggle between rich and poor. That has nothing to do, aside from giving an example of what he's trying to talk about. And he mentions that two times in five verses, impartiality. The subject of the passage is impartiality. The whole rich and the poor thing is just something as an example. Impartiality. Everyone is created in the image and likeness of God. Henceforth, they should all be treated equally. When I say equally, treated equally when it comes to this context. Coming into the church, when somebody comes into the church, you could be the most indigent person on the face of this planet. You get here early, you want to sit up front, guess what? There you go. There are a bunch of poor people in here, and they fill up the pews all the way to back, and then the well-to-do members of the parish come back. Hey, you should have got here earlier. Go sit in the back. That's impartiality. Nobody gets any privileges. The whole gospel thing, male, female, rich, poor, ethnicity this, culture that, has nothing to do with anything when it comes to the gospel, the administration of the sacraments, the rituals of the church. This is what St. James is talking about in his letter, impartiality. Doing good for the poor. Now, let's just start with this one, right? This foundational stuff right here, because we hear so much and so often, this is where I'm going to go with this whole thing. We hear a lot of things about the poor and all this kind of stuff in the church. Let there be no doubt in anybody's mind that from cover to cover, the scriptures say that we need to be attentive to people who may be in danger. People who are in want. This is what we do. We pay attention to them. Why? Because if you throw money at it, the problem will go away? No, absolutely not. If you do them right, then they are receptive to what you might have to say to them. And for us, that's the gospel. That they are sinners in need of a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Him, you don't go to heaven. That's the whole springboard thing. This is why we do good things to people. It's not a matter of dotting I's and crossing T's, and it's a moral responsibility. We should do it for the gospel. We should do it for the salvation of their souls. You should never give anything to anyone, that it is not in some way, shape, or form connected to the gospel. You give one of these dudes that's hanging out on the sidewalk $5 or $10 because you feel so moved. Praise God for you. It's meritorious. When you give it to them, make sure you say that it's given to the glory of God. Hope you use this to get closer to Christ. Whatever, however you want to say, but it should be. It must be, if it's done correctly, given to them. But a lot of people give them $5, $10 to get them out of their face. Here, just take this. Go away. That's not the proper motive. It's not the proper motive. We should be concerned for their souls. Canon law says that we need to fend for people who need assistance. This stuff is never without caveat. I mean, it's presented, unfortunately, in our day and age a lot without caveat. For instance, when we are to help people, the scriptures say that we should help first the household of faith. And then, if we have anything that we can do for other people, that's fine. But first the household of faith. Your brothers and sisters in your parish, and then your brothers and sisters in Catholic Church are the ones who are in need, because there are a whole lot of Catholics who are in need. There are people in this parish that are in need, small as it is. We need to fend for them. Okay, then if you could do something to the guy out on the sidewalk, that's fine. But I mean, you got to have your priorities, and God gives us priorities. Get into that here a little bit later, how we should view these things. We're supposed to be good for people who need assistance. The scriptures don't speak cover to cover, the poor. Actually, the big emphasis in scripture is widows and orphans. Widows and orphans. Why? Well, because back in the day, their lives were in danger. They didn't have anybody looking out for them. So who had to do it? If the government wasn't going to do it, which it wasn't really apt to do back in those days, the church does it. So you always got to look at the context of this whole thing. Widows and orphans, people who need, people who are in danger. Our Lord, one of the things that shows that he is the Messiah. For instance, John the Baptist is in prison. He knows things are not going to be well with him. And he sends some of his disciples. Go ask him if he's the one to come. And our Lord's response is, go tell him that the dead are raised, that their ears are unstopped, the gospel this morning, that the blind see, and money is given to the poor, and the gospel is preached to the poor. Not a mention one about, and we're given some of our money. Did our Lord do that? Yes, we know that for a fact, because when Judas goes, he said, the other apostles thought that he was going to, the Lord told him to take some of the money out of it and give it to the poor. So we know our Lord did that. But he never emphasizes that, because we don't hear a whole lot about giving, unless it's for the new church building. We don't hear a whole lot about giving. I should not have to say it, because you're a Catholic, and if somebody needs assistance, you should help them. That's being a Catholic. That is the outgrowth of our faith. It's the works that we do to glorify God who is in heaven. This is what we do. But my Catholic, so you shouldn't have to hear about it. I've never heard you do a homily how you shouldn't go home and beat your wife. Well, yeah, duh. I don't think I need to say that. All right? Everybody kind of guessed that. You should get the other thing. This is the church's teaching. We assist poor people. Unfortunately, words have come into play that give you sort of a, let's say, a skewed view. And sometimes it actually really contradicts what is said. I said about canon law before. Canon law, canon 222, that the members of the church are obliged to promote social justice. Facepalm. Social justice. That word justice, words have meanings. When you hear that term, social justice, what do you immediately think about? Giving to poor people. That's social justice. That's social philanthropy. That's social charity. That's social giving. It's not justice. Justice has a definition. Justice, righteousness. What's just? Rewarding people for doing well and punishing people for doing wrong. That's justice. You go by a courthouse, you know, usually there's a sign somewhere that says the criminal justice system. There ain't a whole lot of rewards going on there, but it's the criminal justice system. Why? Because that's the other side of the coin. And unfortunately, when you punch up, I went there this morning, went to a social justice resource center. My gosh, I didn't hear one. And there are a lot of things on there. There are a lot of things on there. And I will just submit this to you. And I'm not going to say what it is. Different subject for a different day. But the first thing that popped up was erroneous. It is not in conformity with Catholic teaching at all. Actually, if you really look at it hard and fast, it could be heretical. Actually heretical, by definition. But that was the first thing that popped up. And all that, give this, give that, do this for these people and these doubt and all this kind of stuff. I'm not saying that that's wrong. That's not justice. If it is going to be the Social Justice Resource Center, talk about that stuff, and then the other 50% of the stuff ought to be, and we ought to punish these people for doing this. We ought to punish these people for doing that. We ought to get and admonish these people because they're not doing that. That's justice. By definition, it's justice. So we're getting this skewed view of justice. We're using the word in a way that is not even in the definition. You got to be careful of things like that. What's the big deal? The big deal is it makes the gospel message at least back burner, if not even discussed at all. And it negates the spiritual nature of the church. First and foremost, the church's business is not social justice. It's the salvation of souls. The salvation of souls, poor and rich. In James' reading today, many poor people. Oh, you look at the guy. He's dirty. He doesn't have good clothes. He smells bad and everything like that. He may be rich in faith. He may be rich in faith. What the scriptures say. He may be rich in faith. There are billionaires. I mean this literally. There are billionaires who are going to spend eternity in hell because, and they are philanthropists. They're going to spend eternity in hell because they don't know Christ. They don't realize that they're sinners in need of a Savior. Why? Because I don't recognize that I'm a sinner because I got all kind of money. I got all kind of money. I got this nice house and everything like that. No, that had nothing to do with going to heaven. Who should you pay more attention to? Where should your preference lie? This guy who's going to go to heaven, indigenous may be, or I need to share the gospel with that rich dude over there because he's going to hell. By their fruits you will know them. Not that we judge where anybody's going to go, but our Lord says, by their fruits you will know them. We need to start paying attention to the realities of things. No matter who you are, you need Christ. Unfortunately, again, what's been presented, you know, about social justice. Another one of my favorite terminology that you hear so frequently. How many times have you heard in various and sundry places about the preferential option for the poor? I like kind of parsing words. The preferential option for the poor. You ever think about what we hear it all the time. An option means that you have these various and sundry choices to make. That's an option. The preferential option for the, well, option to do what? What's the option that we hear about all the time? And preferential. That word, preferential, does that not contradict what St. James said? Impartiality. Impartiality. Oh, no, you got to have preference. Not thinking that the Holy Spirit said that through St. James. It's this preference thing. Preferential option for the poor. That means, you know, you give them money. Well, yeah, duh. You give poor people stuff because rich people don't need it. Is that really an option you got to think about? The preferential option for the poor. It's just a little etymology, not etymology because that's the study of how words came about, but that phrase, never, ever in scripture, because the scriptures talk about impartiality. Never, ever do you see about preferential anything in scripture. Ever. except for seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, that's a spiritual thing. Preferential. The first time that that phrase was ever used, and it wasn't preferential at the time, it was just the option for the poor. 1968. The church has been around for a long time. Preferential option for the poor has been around since the church phrase was first used in 1968. I was 6 years old. I knew spring chicken, but, you know, I was 6 years old. That's a relatively new concept. And let me show you my shock face. It was in a letter that the Superior General of the Jesuits wrote to his Father Pedro Arupe, to be specific. It was a letter to the Jesuits in Latin America, and it was a banner wave for liberation theology. Liberation theology has been condemned by the Catholic Church in writing several times. And it's associated with socialism and communism. Everybody's got to be equal. Both socialism and communism have been condemned in writing by the Catholic Church several times. So the whole source of this term that we use, preferential option for the poor, again, flies in the face of James and in his partiality and the teachings throughout Scripture. That it's seeking first the kingdom of God. What was Father's whole deal? Everybody's got to be equal. Egalitarianism. That's very Enlightenment. As a matter of fact, it's also very Freemasonic. We're not Freemasons. That's been condemned more than any other thing in writing by the church ever in history. Freemasons are evil. It is not commensurate with the faith unless you've never heard it. You cannot be a Freemason and be a Catholic. You cannot be a Freemason and be a Catholic. I go to lodge, don't receive communion, your soul's in danger. Can't be a Freemason. And Freemasonry is all about egalitarianism. Everybody's okay, no. This whole class war, if we throw money on it, like communists do, theoretically, everybody's equal. Not ever, anywhere. You know, ask people who've lived in communist countries. There are several around here. They're the most adamant ones who will tell you it don't work. Yeah, that's all theoretical nonsense. Just because you throw money at something doesn't mean it's going to go away, like classes. Classes are a part of creation. That's the deal. It's the deal. I'll use myself as an example. I always use myself as a bad example if I got it. No, it's not a bad example. It's just an example of the reality of things. A few months ago, I got to spend a week with Father Chad Ripberger. Every time I've said that at Mass, somebody's head's going, really? Yeah. Why do heads pop up? Because he's Father Chad Ripberger. Because he's awesome. But one of the things that makes him awesome is because he's one of the most wicked smart people I've ever met in my life. I want to say that. I want to qualify. He is the most intelligent man I've ever met in my entire life. He's scary, smart. Several times, just one-on-one. Hey, what about this? He does this little thing where he looks up in the air, he goes, and he starts citing passages from books and then telling you what book it's in and everything. It's whacked. I mean, the guy is that smart. And I am, in a holy sense, I am proud that I got to spend a week with him. It really, it's like, yeah, you think you got to go. It's like, man, I'm stupid. He's smarter than me. He's more intelligent than I am. Do I have a problem saying that? I'm using it as an example. I got no problem with it whatsoever. It's the way things are. I'm smarter than a lot of people. There are a lot of people that are smarter than me. Why have we got a problem with that? Everybody should be treated equal. That kid that never showed up in high school that got, when he did, he got F's on everything. He should get to go to Harvard because he should be equally treated than everybody. No, he shouldn't. He's stupid. He's stupid and he's irresponsible. He shouldn't go to Harvard. Let's be real with people. Nah, dude, you might want to go to trade school. Kick that whole Harvard thing out of your mind. People in trades make a whole lot more money than people that have a master's degree in our day and age. Sometimes I wish I was a plumber. Yeah. Seriously.
I had a friend at the sheriff's office. He was a manager at the sheriff's office. The guy's way up there. And he's like, he always kept a certification to be a plumber. He goes, I ain't only going to have this, but all these people's toilets are going to be stopped up. He knew the deal. You know, you got to be real about this stuff. We need to be real about our faith. If we got to be related about anything, it's our faith. But we got to know what it teaches. You're always going to have classes. Everybody looks at Leo XIII's encyclical Rerum Novarum. Rerum Novarum is like the first, and it is. It's a good document. It really is. It talks about social issues of the day that were there in that day. It's very good. But one of the things that he emphasizes in his, oh, that's the springboard for Catholic social teaching. One of the things he emphasizes is the necessity of proper social teaching because there has to be harmony and concord among the different classes of society. It's a harmony and concord thing we want, not making everybody equal because nobody's equal. Everybody's different. This is the gospel. We've got to look for everybody impartially. Because not everybody is equal. And there are some people that are really downtrodden. And they're in danger. We need to assist them. But impartially. This is what James talks about. Partiality to no one. So this whole preferential option for anybody is right out the window. We can't do that. I love it. The preferential option for the poor. Okay, James says be impartial. But how about this even more specific statement from Leviticus? Thou shalt not do that which is unjust. Respect not the person of the poor. What? Respect not the person of the poor, nor honor the countenance of the mighty. But it is explicitly said, preferential treatment of the poor. Respect not the person of the poor. Everybody should be looked at impartially. Why? Because that's the way God looks at everybody. Romans chapter 2. You know, every now and then there's like, Paul can be really, really flowery and long-winded when it comes to things in Romans. Romans chapter 2, God shows no partiality. That's pretty easy to remember. Hey, remember, I was a part of Scripture. God shows no partiality. So if God doesn't do it, this is the problem with modernists. The modernist thinks that they're more holy than Christ. They think that they're more, he did this, but we need to ratchet it up. And no, we need to be like he was. He's like our example. We're not more holy than he is. And sometimes this whole thought process, kind of start to tie this up, this came from a very, very high person in the church a couple years ago in an official document. And this statement is made. What we need is, I quote, a church that is poor for the poor. Okay, how are you going to do things for the poor if you don't have any money? A church that is poor for the poor. And it's really kind of interesting that guys that say things like that are always the ones who are initiating second collections for this and that. Oh, hey, dude, I thought you wanted a poor church. I keep asking for money. I'm just saying. It's kind of inconsistent, right? A poor church for the poor. See, when is a church for anybody? That's not the message. It contradicts the message. It's for everybody. Our corporal works of mercy, we get merits for it. That's what we do. We're doing for people who need assistance. So the more you do for them, the more meritorious you get. You get points in heaven. Yeah, we're judged by our works. Share that with your friends out there who faith alone. Yeah, okay, right, whatever. It is worth the venerable BB talking about James. Those people that did that to that poor person that came into their mass, they were full of faith but empty in works. And that's a criticism. You need works. You're judged on your works, both good and bad. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Not a word in there about that they may see your faith. How do you see somebody's faith? Through their works. Words, they have meaning. We cannot throw money at people and make them more dignified. We cannot do it. That negates the spiritual aspect of the church. people receive their dignity by God, by virtue of their creation in the likeness and image of God. This is why everybody should be treated the same, because everybody has the same dignity of being made in the likeness of image of God. And we are those ones who are not in the body of Christ because of our charity. We want to move them in, but they receive that from God. They don't receive it from men. But the way the message is now, that's how they receive it. You just throw more money at that people and their dignity will increase. No, it won't. God gives that. He gives that at the point of our creation. We got to know that, because our church is a spiritual thing. It's not a social justice organization. In the Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost.